Good morning, love life. Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? I can't hear you. I'm doing fine, and I'm excited for this morning. What's happened here? I got sidetracked when I was, I saw a word that I was looking at earlier, and I thought, I get to where it's almost like an investigation going on, and it's like I'm this detective, and this word got me going, so I had to look up and started looking at the preliminary definition. Then I went to the root, and I started looking at different things, and then I thought, oh my gosh, what time is it? And then I realized, oh no, I'm running a little late, but that's why I was. It's not because I wasn't prepared. I was like over preparing. But anyway, good morning, everyone. Hope you're ready for today's unconventional Bible study. I know I am, and I'm certainly hoping that is your attitude as well. Because again, we're doing this to be great today. We're leveling up our lives and recognizing a responsibility on our part to do what is right, do the right thing, and experience the best that God has for us. Okay, so let's get right into this because I'm about to burst. But I was going to start with something that I've had in my notes for a few weeks to talk on Sunday, but I thought, I think I'm going to talk about three quick keys for change. And I started that a few weeks ago, and I talked about self, stop criticizing self. So that would key number one. You know, let me explain something that I've said consistently for quite a few years now. When it comes to the walk of faith and living your life for Jesus, when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to your experience, understand this. Your identity of yourself, how you see yourself, how your self-esteem, your view of you, it determines everything. Period. Everything. Now, why do we need to understand that? Well, first and foremost, to recognize that is the only way you're going to be able to fix it, restore, bring healing, wholeness, deliverance. That's the only way it works. By the way, those words I just said, that is the term repentance. And I know there's a religious connotation on that, and it's only viewed in one way, that is one of the lower levels of definition than what it means per se when you the word repent. It's this conscious understanding of turning from a viewpoint or a belief total opposite to a different viewpoint or belief. It's changing direction. I can tell you right now, based on years of experience and watching and hearing and seeing and even participating in telling people to repent of your sin, repent of your sins, is a religious statement that isn't based on what Scripture teaches. Now, I'm not saying that it's not telling us to biblical define repentance. What I'm saying is religious defining of repentance. And what we need to understand is you can repent religiously forever and never have repentance. It won't happen. It doesn't work that way because it is not a natural principle to a spiritual truth, which is what Scripture teaches. So what we do is we have to understand, what does that mean? What does the word repent mean? And then you go into that and you start realizing, okay, for me to overcome, have success in an area, I have to grab hold of what the picture is of it in here. So if I'm going to overcome any area, it's based upon changing this right here. Changing my view, changing my understanding, changing how I see or perception. In that, the negative effect against that is just how I view myself. Because if I keep viewing myself in a negative light and I just, you know, I continually break myself down, you can repent a billion times and it's still not going to give you deliverance. So that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for religious mumbo jumbo. We're looking for truth. Why would God tell us to do something that's so religiously? Because it's a difficult, almost impossible thing. Because we're looking at it incorrectly. I believe you're able to overcome, win over any issue in your life. Some things take longer than others, but you can and will overcome through the process of the renewing of the mind, process of your identity lining up to the way the Word of God talks about who you are, recognizing your righteousness, recognizing the what grace and God's love for you is about. These are all key issues. Can you, we need to turn that heat off.
Yeah.
So if you can run over there, shut it off. Mm-hmm. Probably sounds, can you hear it in there?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I forgot to turn the heat off and like we're in this little room and now it's like, ah. So Daniel's taking care of that. My goodness. This little studio we have here can get really warm really quick. But it also, in our church, it's like a refrigerator. It's called being a good steward financially. We don't turn things on. Everything stays off unless you go into that room, you turn a light on. Once you leave the room, you turn the light off. We're light turner offers here, and it just I don't want to waste any of God's money, and that's just the way it is. So, in saying all this, that's what I'm going to talk about. But what I want to do is I want to go to Proverbs before I do that. Actually, we're going to start in verse 20, but what started me is verse 23. As far as on my original notes, I was looking at something that God says to us that's priority. And it said, keep your heart with all diligence. Word keep is to protect, guard, watch over. It would be someone that is, it could be a soldier that has been ordered to protect an area. So that it is a military term where it's used here. So what we're doing is we're looking at what does God say about the importance of protecting your heart? And we're not talking about the physical, natural heart. We're talking about the heart of who we are, the heart of our soul, this area that can take us down or take us up, that can bring destruction or can bring victory. I mean, it is everything within this heart it determines our life. And so it says here, protect, guard your heart with all diligence. So it's telling me that it's not something I can put second place. I can't protect my heart sometimes or, you know, haphazardly. He says with all diligence, and again, that's tied to a position, again, of a soldier that has all the requirements to protect and defend, and he can't sleep on the job. So here we have God telling us that when it comes to our heart, we have to be focused in protecting. Now, how is that just going, hey, stay away, whoa. No, it's knowledge. Knowledge of God's word of how we're supposed to operate in this life will give us ability to protect these areas. But we're going to have to understand the full context of Scripture in our life as believers, as followers of Jesus. So it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of the heart, springs the issues of life. Your life flows out of this heart. And so if you look at your life, what's flowing out of it, and it's bad, it's because you're not protecting it. God says, this is God telling us. Oh, okay. I just got Matthew 12, so let me go to Matthew 12. Remember I said, it can just come when I'm just talking, and it'll just pop in there, and I'm sure that's, I think 12's the heart, abundance of the heart. I think 12, I don't know, 12 something, 12, 20, or anyway, I'll get there. All right, Matthew, Jiminy. Man, 13's long. All right, here we go. 12, 39. Yeah, all right, 33. 12, 33. He says this. This is Jesus speaking. Man, this is a good. This is really good. I start getting this. I'm looking at this. It's so good. But let's get off that. Not that you're on it, but I was. But here we go. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Now, what he's talking about, this analogy or this picture, is us. It's a person. When he's talking about tree, he didn't say specific fruit. He said tree. Make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Well, if he's talking about tree, and then he's talking about fruit, then he's talking about what? The DNA, the whole part of what creates out of the tree, the DNA of the tree. So if you look at fruit trees, you can look at grapefruit, you can look at apple, you can look at lemon, lime, whatever. And that tree produces fruit designed to what it was created to produce. So when it says make the tree good, its fruit good, or else make the tree bad, its fruit bad, is saying that what comes from the heart spring the issues of life spring forth is a picture of a ground and water bubbling out of the ground. So what we have is we have that picture where God's saying that we have to have the right things bubbling out of us. Hear me, please. This scripture came alive to me quite a few years back when I did the unconventional Bible study with it. I read that. I've read it many times. I've taught it many times. But then I looked at this and I saw it. I see this. Either. And that word either just came alive in the sense of that we have hope. Everybody has hope. Because he's not saying, if it's bad, you're bad. If it's good, it's good. And that's it. He's saying, either make the tree good, its fruit good. Either make the tree bad, its fruit bad. So we have this opportunity. We have the ability to do this. He says, for a tree is known by its fruit. Well, you can see trees. It's when the fruit shows forth and you go, that's it. That's a kumquat. That's a, you know, that's a pomegranate. That's a cherry. That's, you know, it's that fruit pops up and it defines what's inside it. Now look at this, verse 34. Talking to the highest level religious people on the earth at the time. You brood of vipers. Yeah, I don't think Jesus is happy right now. And, you know, most, quote, Christians, religious, go, oh, brood of vipers. La, 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 la. Yeah, it's so gross. No, he's not happy right now. And he's speaking to the most evil people on planet Earth. Yep, the religious. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, look at this, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why I tell people, you know, everybody has the facades, you know, the relationships that are just this level. But when you're around someone, ultimately you hear what will come out, and that's the real them. And that's why I tell people that you tell as many people as I can, you know, pay attention to what's coming out. You know, it's just, you're going to see. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's all evil or negative. I don't want to say that. But what I'm saying is you can find out sports teams, you can find out politics, you can find out anything just by what starts coming out. And how they view and what that view lines up with or whatever. The point is ultimately it comes out. You know, I said everybody's good on Sunday being a Christian, or, you know, we put our Christian life before everyone. And that's for that short period of time. But what about before that time, before coming, or what happens after? And that's, you know, you have to recognize, you personally have to recognize that. Now, you know, I don't want to make light at that. And I also don't want to make it something that I would believe most people call fake. I don't want it to go that way. I want to go this way. You have the ability to. You cussed on the way here. You weren't cussing in here. You cussed out the doors. Well, we could look at that and go, oh, look, you're all fake. You're all phony or whatever. You know, that's so simple to do. And non-church people love to do that, but they live that life consistently, which is a joke. But they love to point out that, you know, church people, you know, they're working, and then even their own lives are doing it probably multiplied more times. But that doesn't matter. It's church people. They're supposed to be perfect. And I don't know where they get that, but, you know, no, that ain't true. The point is if you can do what you're doing, then it's something you can continue to do. And that's how we're at to look at it. You know, I was the same way, you know. You're all fake, playing games, you know, just years and years ago. But the truth of the matter is again, if you can do that, and you can communicate without F-bombs or whatever, and you can communicate, then that can continue on. You know, you can even perceive to your own self that you're just putting on church, but how about putting on Jesus? How about putting on the right way of living life? That's not religious, because Jesus said, you brood of vipers, you're evil. So religion isn't what he's looking for. He's just looking for a life that's built on success principles, not, you know, the world. The world cannot be your God dictating to you how to live life or what's acceptable or not acceptable. My goodness, that's where the freaks live. It's time to let God and his word line us up. Amen? And live successfully. But here it shows us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. We're reading here, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Now, why is this? Why did God show me this? All right, I wasn't even going to go to Matthew. It just came out. Now, I know why, because this is what's getting me. 4:20 is what I got this morning. So I was going to start on 4:23 just to prepare us about the importance of protecting this heart. We get information. We're getting these truths to help us in our walk. But we've got to go beyond just hearing the information, going through the day of protecting this, protecting our heart, our life. Now, verse 20. Excuse me. Now, verse 20 says this. My son or daughter, give attention to my words. Give attention to my words. Right away, he's telling us exactly what we see it, what the word's saying. Give attention means to focus in on and prioritize. He's saying, bring focus in on my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Attention to my words. Well, words don't mean a thing unless you can hear them. The ability to hear and decipher what you're hearing. Incline your ears to my saying is what you're reading as far as incline. He's saying lean in toward. Okay, so everybody leans in to something they want to hear. If it's good or bad, doesn't matter. You can have a conversation with someone and you're just everybody's just communicating, and then all of a sudden someone moves into the subject matter that you love or that really you're interested in. You do not listen the same way. You lean in. Now, you might not physically, but you do. You leaning on and opening up more to hear. Before, you could hear them, probably other people. But all of a sudden, you're now bringing it more in this tunnel vision to what he's going to say. Give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Then he goes to this position. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, that's interesting. Because why would he say depart from my eyes when we're talking about listening and hearing? Right? But that's the tool of understanding. Because see, the words you hear, this is good. So we're looking at this and we're hearing this important thing of attention in the ears, in the area of ears. Then he says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Okay, so eyes and heart now. What are we reading? What are we seeing here? And this is what's key, because it's telling me whatever enters my ears will ultimately influence my mind. Do you see this? It influences my heart. Whatever comes into my ears, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my saying, don't let them depart from your eyes. He's talking about his words, his sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. So the ability to receive that instruction, you start perceiving. You have it starting to influence your mind, your emotions, your will, decisions. Are you guys following me? So that's very important. Again, unconventional Bible study. Pay attention, my son or daughter. Choose what you're going to do today. Give attention to my word. Incline your ears to what I'm talking about. Keep that protected in how you view and perceive. And then he says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Don't let it be up here. This is where you can lose information. That's why people that can learn something, they'll lose it. The only way you don't lose it is if you're using it, you're applying it. Once you start applying it, you keep hold of knowledge. You can lose knowledge. It won't stay with you unless you are putting it to use, okay? verse 22, he says, for they are life to those who find them. Look at that. What in your life are you dealing with that's connected to life? Whatever it is. I would say anything in me, anything a part of me, it says, for they are life to those who find them. Well, if I'm dealing with an area that's weak or sick or dealing with something, I need to bring life into them. How do I do that? I find the Word of God. Find the information. See, this is what I'm saying about like self-critique. You're trashing yourself not on what God says about you. You're not trashing yourself based upon what you've learned. You're trashing yourself on your past. You're trashing your old training, the old you. That's where you're trashing self at. You're literally robbing yourself of success based upon past. Totally. Not today, past. So I highly suggest, since I can't command you, but I highly suggest, strongly suggest, that you stop it, that you pay attention to these words. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Let this word get in you so that we're not just doing another Thursday or doing another Sunday or whatever. Let's use this to our advantage of success in life, okay? Let's do it. So he says this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So everything about my life's tied to protecting my heart or not protecting my heart. So I need to protect it. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Do what? Deceitful mouth, perverse lips. It's talking about communication. You know what's interesting is the book of Proverbs. I mean, I did this a long time ago. In the book of Proverbs, I believe it's around mouth and lips, pretty much, you know, it's talking about the same thing, is at least 90 to 100 times in Proverbs. So there is an emphasis concerning this, okay? So it's important to, well, we just saw Jesus said this, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, okay, what is he built up? Out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. I say to you that every idle word that people speak, they will give account. For by your words you're justified, or by your words you're condemned. Yeah, the power of words, it's almost like you hear these, you know, especially these goofy people on YouTube, they just can't stand people that talk about the power of words, the position of blessing and cursing, and it's all through God's word, New Testament, Old. And that just shows how lack of knowledge of Scripture they have. They have great denominational viewpoint, but lack of knowledge of Scripture. So what we want to do is we want to recognize what God is saying is, it is very, very important to recognize what's coming out of your mouth, recognizing that's tied to the heart, recognizing that I either going to protect it or not protect it, and it's all based upon diligence or haphazard walk. Either I'm going to get serious about this and get change or not, you know? So it's all a process. It's all a process that we walk through. You know, some are easier than others, but it's like I've been listening to people in the area of habit change and getting life change rather than the New Year's resolutions. And one theme I hear after another is winning over a small thing. That is biblical principle one. Win over a small thing. If you can, let's say for instance, you already know you're overweight and you're not healthy. Now we can go into all kinds of diets, all kinds of, you know, life change and everything, but I don't believe that's where you're going to win. I believe you're going to win by, let's look at one area that you can have victory in, and let's start there. One of the areas, let's say this is probably, I can guarantee it was one of my issues, and even my boys, but it would be soda pop, you know? Start there. Say, just start going, I'm going to stop drinking soda or canned sugar, but you know what I'm saying? Don't look at the fake or the false advertisement of diet, because that is a big old fat lie. The thing you want to do is you want to say, okay, I'm not talking about anything else other than let's start there. And just start by, I'm done. Drink carbonated water, drink water. If you need to, freshly squeeze some juice into some carbon, whatever. But eliminate it. Eliminate it out. Totally eliminate it all out of you. And just stop. Don't worry about anything else right now. Just do that. And walk that. Get victory over it. And I'm telling you, you start doing those little things, then all of a sudden, you're going to go to the next stage. And you start, let me get rid of these snack foods, or let me quit eating at, this is what I did. I mean, we pretty much eliminated almost all fast food, but it slowly took place. We eliminated this, we eliminated that. We keep, you know, but I can tell you right now, we kept like Taco Bell, Church's Fried Chicken was open, a couple burger places. I mean, that was pretty much the last of the group of fast food eating. And then we started to eliminate little here and there. And then we eliminated, I think one of my last things were, I will eat like an In-N-Out with no bread. It might sometimes happens. I think the last thing outside of that was, what's that one? Freddy's. And I just eliminated Freddy's totally out. So there's this position where elimination is so simple for me now. It's not even difficult. And I don't know, we haven't had In-N-Out for a while, but I better quit talking about it. I might want to have it today. But the point is, you see what I'm saying? In other words, I eat healthy. I eat really good, but I'm empowered. So it took process of time, people. And now I have authority over that. And I'm not under any legal action of law to where if I did anything outside of that, I'd just be condemned. I don't have it. I'm free. I just don't want to. I don't want it. I already know all the negative things about those type of foods. So I have no problem with this. But I did at one point. It was difficult. And there are many difficult things that I could go back and say, yeah, but it's been a process of time. So it wasn't about let's do this special diet or let's do this or no. It's been a process of little by little, being faithful, little changes. And the Bible says when you're good and faithful at little, you'll be great at bigger things. And that's where we live. And we're doing good with that. So that's what we want. We want to be able to have change. But like I said, I've been hearing all these men and women of just excellent, excellent, high knowledge people in this area. And that's pretty much a common thread of start little. Just start the little things and getting these little victories. And then you can build upon them. Okay? We can do this together. You can do it. I got faith in you. So he says in verse 25, he says, actually, verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips far from you. Well, because out of the mouth, when you stop it, you help the heart in the area of treasure. You can have, remember, we're not just this one-dimensional person. We've got all these dimensions in this area of our lives where we've got good heart here, medium heart here, bad heart here. You understand what I'm saying? You can't look at us as a tree. A tree is if you're a cherry tree, I don't care what you want or desire, you're going to produce cherries. You can't do anything about it. What we need to realize is there are areas in our lives where we've worked to be better, or we've worked to get our heart in line with more what Scripture's wanting us to, and it's good. But there are other areas it's not. Well, then we work toward that. That's what I want you to look at. Again, you know, is your feeding, are your eating habits good and you're overweight? No, they're not. It's obvious. But there are other factors as well. So we start working on these things, little, and then we'll get to these other areas. And we'll go through the process, but it can't be based upon, I'm this, I need change. You have to have knowledge. How come? Why? Start looking at the reasons, you know, what this is doing to your health, what you're eating. Start investigating. Look at ingredients. Pay attention. You're gonna find out that this is what I believe, and science, pure science backs this up. The smaller the ingredient list, the healthier it will be for you. And when you can get the ingredient list to one ingredient, you're going to be at the healthiest part of life. So you get a bag of apples, and all of a sudden you look and there's all these ingredients, not just apple. And then you go buy an apple, the ingredient is apple. You see what I'm saying? So when you start realizing that, you'll start doing what we do in my home and other people's homes that are, they're living this way too, is you start looking at ingredients. And there are times when if Pastor Law didn't make her fresh, organic, homemade corn tortilla, then we'll get something and we will look, okay, which one has the least amount of ingredients? And we found some that will have just like 3-4 ingredients, that's it. And then you look at major brands, they'll have like 20. I mean, just ingredients go on and on and on. And you're looking at all these things that are harmful for the body. And that's what I'm trying to say is when you start paying attention to what goes in that can defile you physically, just like what comes in can defile you in the area of the soul emotionally. So you have to be careful what's coming in. So let's get working on this. I got faith in you. I don't know why I'm going there, but we're going to go there and have victory, okay? So it says here, let me get a drink. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. That was an interesting word, and that's the word I looked at, ponder. Because ponder, in my mind, it's the process of, you know, just thinking. So I saw that and I thought, I don't know if that would be, is that what it means? So I went to the Hebrew, and that's when I started getting into it. And it, I realized, okay, so now it's a lot more clear of importance. So when it says, ponder the path of your feet, it literally means to weigh, to make level, okay? Now, when you look in the Hebrew word, this is what it means. This is the picture of it in the Hebrew. To ponder something means is you have a scale, and you put on that scale this, and you put on this scale that, and it'll go like this, okay? So this is what this Hebrew word's showing me. So it's telling me I'm supposed to, look at this, I'm supposed to look in the direction of my life, the direction of decisions. Come on, this is good. Place the direction of my decisions and weigh them on a scale. Benefit, non-benefit. You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to weigh it on a scale. And then when I weigh it and I go, nope, this is what I need. You know, so you ponder it. And it says ponder the path or level it, weigh it, and let all your ways be established. Now that means fixed, set. So your ways can't be wandering. He's saying you establish direction, fix it by making decisions before you make a decision. Looking, seeing, leveling. Are you guys getting this? That was pretty cool. That's what got me late. I was looking at that. He says, do not turn to the right or the left, and then ultimately ends with this, remove your foot from evil. So what are we looking at? Awesome stuff. What we're looking at is a base or foundation of what we're about to get into. All right. So we talked about stop criticizing self, right? All right. So we understand that, and we already know there's major negative consequences when you're always attacking yourself. Number two is to do change daily. All right. So today, you do change. You need to do things that will bring victory in your life. Okay, I don't remember if it was in a Thursday or on a Sunday, but I said about working out and how, you know, I had these plans and I said that there will be times when I get busy or I'm doing something and go, I'll work out later. And majority of the time, that ain't going to happen. So I recognize I got to get it done. Otherwise, most likely, I'm not going to get high. Percentage of me doing it is going to be low. So, but what I did like a week ago, I work out in the mornings, but what I did a week ago, I got busy and I thought, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to work out. After lunch, after later in the day, I will work out. So what I purposed in my heart is that no matter what, I'm going to just to create confusion in the patterns of what I was living. So I'm causing chaos to my way of life. That's how you're going to get change. You know, sometimes you have to, you know, move some furniture around, whatever it takes, and bring some chaos for change. I mean, it's true. It'll work. And so I did that. So I realized, you know what? If I have something that is priority over me working out, no big deal. I can work out later. And I'm good with that. I am completely good with it. And I already know I'll get it done. So doing change daily is a key. Studies have proven, and I put this down, daily habits become more automatic and sustainable, which reduces the self-control we need to perform them. So if you're doing it daily, it's going to bring a place in your life where you're going to have success in it. But you got to do it daily. Why am I talking about this? Because I'm going to give you stuff that we're to do daily. This is what we're to do daily. Daily meditate on the word. Notice I didn't say daily reading the Bible. I said daily meditate on the word. Now, that can involve you opening up and reading or whatever, but my suggestion is that you re-listen to a YouTube Sunday service or a Thursday, hear what that message was, and get the scriptures, the references to that message, whatever it is to your heart, and start meditating on it. Re-look up the scripture. You know, go into this Proverbs chapter 4, starting verse 20, look at it and start looking at it. And then through the day, meditate on it. I didn't say memorize it. You memorize if you want. I said meditate on it. You already said, yeah, we heard about thinking about making, you know, pondering direction of life. We heard about hearing. What are you listening to? What are you allowing into you? We heard that we're to guard, protect our heart for, in what? In diligence. In a mode of, I'm not going to be, you know, just wimping out on this. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be secure in this. For out of it flows the issues of life. And we're hearing this out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. So those are things that I'll meditate through the day. Daily, meditate on the Word of God, okay? Talk to God daily. That's the word where it says pray continually. That's scripture. Pray continually without ceasing is Ephesians 6:18, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Talk to God every day. You talk to Him. You need to make this a habit and just talk. And that's why I tell everybody, you just gotta talk to God. I talk to God about everything. If you put a camera on me, you'd think I was crazy. There'd be times I'd just be talking. Well, maybe not a lot outward. I talk a lot inward too. Just when I'm processing. Then I'm speaking it out too. I remind myself there are times I'm just talking. And if there was someone around me, they'd be thinking that there's someone with me. You know, I'd be talking, and you turn the corner and people look around, who are you talking to? Just talking to Jesus, you know. So the thing we need to do is daily talk to God. Next, we daily praise and worship. Word of what? Daily worship and praise God. And that is something that Scripture makes very clear that we're to open up. No one has a problem listening to their music every day. No one. It's something we do. Whatever type of music you listen to, it's not something you have to wake up and go, oh, should I listen or what am I supposed to do? You guys listen because that music is part of your life. What I'm saying is this is God gave this stuff to us. I mean, Lucifer was the worship leader in heaven before creation. Now think about that. This music thing is very important. But what we need to do is we need to be able to, I believe if it's important, there's empowerment to it. I believe there's ability of strength, there's ability of miracles, there's ability of faith by praise and worship. And I don't have time to get into all the different levels of that and the information, but I will. I'm going to teach on that soon. Okay, so we want to meditate on the Word of God. We want to talk to God continually. We want to praise and worship Him daily. And then the third thing we want to do, build each other up. Encourage one another daily. That's what Scripture says in Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily. That's actually written in the continuous tense in the Greek. That means we do it all the time. Exhort one another daily, build each other up. That Greek word is parakaleo, and this is a cool word because it means to walk alongside, to console, to comfort, assist with instruction, direction, advice, encourage. So it's us being together going, come on, man, you can do it. Come on. Snap out of it. You know, we're to walk alongside each other. And when it says one another, it's talking about the family of faith and others, but this references family of faith. We should be building each other up instead of looking ways to tear down. So anyway, I got so much, but I feel like I'm finished. Have a great day, everybody. Love you. We'll see you real soon. Bye.